Reclaiming Camelot by Tanarian. Chapter 13. Read by Fairy D 123. By the time Ianto and Andy got back to the main hub, Tosh and Jack had already arrived. Ianto took one look at Jack and went to stand beside him, dropping a hand on his shoulder as Jack sat on the steps leading up to his old office. "Are you all right, sir?" he asked, a faint frown on his face looking down at him. Jack managed a grin and nodded. "Riff's kicking up a storm," he said by way of explanation. Ianto's frown deepened, and he looked across at Tosh, who made a face and shrugged. "Hey, no secret non-verbal messaging allowed while the boss is around," Jack said in mock protest, "especially when it's about the boss." After a long moment, Ianto sighed and relaxed. "We could do with some coffee, I think," he said, before turning and making for the kitchen. It took a couple of seconds, but Jack's survival instinct belatedly stirred into life. "Ianto," he started to say, but Ianto had already reached the door of the kitchen. Jack wasn't the only one who ducked out of sheer reflex at the sheer depth and power of the cursing. You didn't have to understand Welsh to know that Ianto was upset. Very upset. As in, who's going to be first up against the wall then? Upset. When he swung back round to face them, Jack was aware of a strong urge to duck behind Andy Davidson and put on his wide-eyed and innocent look. The only thing that stopped him from doing so was the realization that the look had never worked on Ianto, even in the early days. Besides, he recalled in belated relief, this wasn't even his fault. "I'm going to be having words with Peter Grieg," Ianto said grimly as he descended the steps again. "I'll have to go out to get the coffee, sir, and I might as well get us some breakfast while I'm gone." "I've got some tea bags," Andy said helpfully. "I'm not in the least bit surprised," Ianto said as he went by. Andy frowned, obviously realizing there was an insult in there somewhere, but not quite able to put his finger on it. Jack cleared his throat hastily. "Breakfast sounds like a good idea, Ianto, but you better check what Andy wants." 2 bacon butties, HP rather than tomato sauce, white bread not brown, smoked bacon if they have it, sliced tomato," Ianto tossed over his shoulder without slowing down. One look at Andy's dropped jaw told Jack that Ianto had done it again. "How?" "Had breakfast with him once after a clear-up," Ianto said, then looked like he wanted to take the words right back. "I'd better go and get those breakfasts, sir," he said hastily before fleeing. "How did he?" Andy started to ask. "He has a very good memory," Jack explained. Andy snorted. "I'll say. It must be more than a year and a half back when I fell over him fighting off those weird little dwarves with the carnival masks on." He paused and frowned. "And I didn't remember that until just now. Why do I keep forgetting the times I've met him?" Jack gave him a particularly charming smile and leaned forward. "Why don't you tell me all about it?" Ianto cursed to himself all the way to collect the coffee and breakfasts and all the way back. The last thing he needed was to kick-start Jack's protective instincts where he was concerned. Lord knew they were ludicrously overdeveloped as it was. Ianto suspected that Jack had never really quite got over the fact that the first mission he had officially dragged Ianto out onto had very nearly ended up with Ianto becoming the Sunday roast for a bunch of deranged, inbred hill farmers. Useless to point out that Ianto had been looking out for himself perfectly well before then, and that clearing up all kinds of shit inevitably meant that you wound up hip-deep in said shit on more than one occasion. Jack had got it into his head that Ianto needed an eye kept on him, and Sod's Law had meant that every time Jack had checked, Ianto had been up the creek without the proverbial paddle. God's middle name was definitely Murphy, so far as Ianto was concerned. He collected the coffees, a tea for Andy, and the various breakfasts. Andy's bacon butties, Tosh's yogurt, fruit and muesli mix, Jack and his bagels, and got back to the hub in record time. One look at the glittering smile that he got from Jack and his heart sank. He glared at the blabbermouth formerly known as Andy, and suppressed the urge to accidentally drop his butties in the rift pool. He'd find a more subtle revenge when all this was over, and Andy successfully shunted back into the police force and retconned back into domesticity. "Andy's been telling us all about the times your paths have crossed, Ianto," Jack explained helpfully as they decamped to the conference room, where thankfully the table and chairs still remained. "Has he now?" Ianto said grimly. He comforted himself with the knowledge that he had retconned Andy after the more interesting incidents. "All the times," Andy continued with a ferocious glare. "And I'll be wanting to talk to you about this retcon business afterwards. Catch me drinking anything you give me in the immediate future," he snorted, grabbing the tea Ianto had handed him and taking a sip. Ianto made a mental note to increase the retcon dosage and cut out all possible triggers, then concentrated on handing out the various breakfasts. He did his best not to catch Jack's eye, but knew he was only putting off the inevitable. He was conscious of a flare of irritation. What the hell did Jack want from him? Some kind of shrinking violet that stayed safely sequestered in the archives and only came out to make the coffee and do a quick bit of dusting before sex? His heart sank as it occurred to him that Jack had seen him as a normal librarian while he had been retconned. He'd been extremely upset when Ianto had regained his memories. What if that had been because he preferred the normal Ianto? That would explain his constant attempts to keep Ianto from doing his job. Abruptly losing his appetite, Ianto pushed aside the bagel he had been eating and tuned into the conversation that was going on around him. "Not sure that a straightforward blow would do any good," Jack was saying thoughtfully. "The pressure's so big that we could end up with a total rupture." "Not sure I like the sound of the word rupture," Andy said dubiously. Tosh gave him a small smile. "Doesn't exactly soar with me either," she admitted. "We have to do something, though. The dampener is only just barely containing the energies, and it's likely to fail in the very near future." Ianto realized with irritation that they must have been talking while he was away, and he was out of the loop again. He stared down at the table and suppressed the urge to give in and ask what everyone was talking about. If it occurred to them that he needed to know, they would eventually get around to telling him. Pushing away from the table, he got to his feet. "I'll make a start of getting the equipment from the secondary side up here, sir," he said evenly. Jack stopped in mid-chew and gave him a startled look. "You haven't finished your breakfast," he pointed out. Ianto shrugged and turned away. "I'm not very hungry," he said as he left. Jack watched Ianto walk away and felt a prickle of unease. Something was wrong. Something was very wrong, but he couldn't figure out what it was. Ianto was angry, really angry, and Jack couldn't for the life of him figure out why. For a moment he was tempted to get up and follow after him, waiting until they were alone before demanding to know what was wrong. The trouble with that was that Ianto was likely to flat-out deny that there was anything amiss, and then stonewall him. With a sigh, he returned his attention to his meal, and belatedly realized that both Tosh and Andy were watching him. "What?" he demanded, wondering if he had something stuck between his teeth. "Ianto's mad at you," Tosh said carefully. Maybe," Jack said cautiously. Andy snorted. "Christ, you're thick," he observed in wondering tones. "Oh, and you would be an authority on how long an acquaintance?" Jack demanded, feeling more than a little harried. Andy shrugged. "Don't need to know him all that well. I'm good with people. Everyone says so." He smiled suddenly. "Makes up for not having all that fancy university stuff inside my head. I know when people are upset, or angry, or just plain not telling the truth. Right now, Ianto's mad as hell about something. If it was me he'd set him off, he'd say so, because I'm the outsider. The fact that he's walked off means it's either you or Tosh. Another feeling it isn't Tosh." Jack blinked. That was the same kind of reasoning that he would have expected from Gwen, but without the attendant lecture about needing to keep in touch with one's humanity. He remembered that Andy and Gwen had been partnered before she'd come to Torchwood, and it suddenly occurred to him to wonder if her apparent grasp of humanity had been innate, or if it had rubbed off on her throughout her proximity with Andy. If it was the latter, it would explain how she could say the things she had done, and yet treated Rhys the way she had. "Tosh, if you don't follow him and find out what's wrong, I will make it my personal goal to make your life a living hell." Tosh said calmly. After one startled look at her serene face, Jack had grinned and grabbed at his and Ianto's coffee before getting to his feet. He gave her a peck on the cheek, then did the same as he went by Davidson, laughing at the indignant squawk that earned him. "Get to know one another," he called over his shoulder as he made for the lower levels. It took a little conscious thought to find his way to lower level Epsilon, since it wasn't a part of the base that was used much. Ianto had been the one who was forever wandering around the place, checking the actuality against the plans, and making sure the fabric of the base was maintained. Jack knew his way around through sheer time spent here, but there were places he hadn't been to for a while, and it was true that the hub did change its configuration very gradually, although quite how it did it was something that continued to baffle everyone. The hub today bore very little resemblance to the hub laid out in the original blueprints. He finally reached the medium-sized room at the end of a long corridor, saw the spill of bright light through the door, and heard the sounds of someone moving around inside. With both his hands filled with cups of coffee, he kicked lightly at the door as he arrived. "It's me," he said as Ianto spun around, his hand going for the gun stuck down the back of his trousers. "You should have included a holster with a list of the rest of the equipment you stashed," he said mildly. Ianto didn't look the least bit pleased to see him, and the fact that he was letting his annoyance show was just as disconcerting as the fact that he was angry in the first place. "For God's sake, can't you even trust me to shift some boxes?" he flared. Jack stared at him in confusion. "What?" Ianto made an impatient gesture and turned away. "All I'm doing is bringing some equipment up to the hub, sir," he said stiffly. "I don't need to be supervised." "Well, that's just as well, because it had never even entered my head that you needed to be," Jack said slowly, feeling even more baffled than he had before. "I brought you your coffee, unless you aren't thirsty either." All he got was a jerk of a shoulder, and he sighed as he came up and pushed the door closed with his foot. "Yan, talk to me." "What about?" "Well, for a start, why you're so flat out mad at me? What did I do?" "Nothing," Ianto muttered. Then his shoulders slumped. "It's just business as usual, isn't it?" If his instincts had been prickling before, they were out and out stabbing away at him now. Crossing over to where Ianto was fiddling with a clipboard, Jack put down the cups of coffee, yanked the clipboard out of the other man's hands, and made him turn and face him. "If by business as usual you mean us working to save the collective arse of the world, then yeah. If by business as usual you mean the two of us not talking and letting things go wrong between us, then not one chance in hell," he said flatly. "You're going to tell me what's made you so mad right now." There was a flare of anger in Ianto's eyes. "I need to do my job," he growled, trying to pull away. "Not until we settle this, whatever the hell it is," Jack shot back. "If I need to tell you..." "Yan, you need to tell me because I'm not a fucking mind reader," Jack snapped. He had a terrible feeling that things were slipping away from him, and losing the warm feeling of companionship that he had been enjoying so much, scraped against his nerves and laid them raw. "What the hell's gotten into you?" "You! You and the way you treat me," Ianto flared. "You were so damn different when I was retconned. You listened to me. You paid attention to me. You asked me for my opinion, and it bloody well mattered to you what I thought. Now it's business as usual, all right? I can't do a bloody thing right, and I'm expected to sit in the corner like some dog until you need a stick to be fetched." "What?" Jack knew he was staring with his mouth open, but he couldn't help it. Where the hell was all this coming from? "Ianto, you've been out of the field for a year. You can't expect to come back in and hit the ground running. Andy Davidson's never been in the field, but that doesn't stop him sitting at the table and being all nice and friendly with you." Jack's eyes widened. "Ianto, are you jealous?" he asked in disbelief. "Dear, you're a moron, Jack, and no mistake," Ianto said furiously. "Of course I'm not fucking jealous, at least not in the way you think. But it's going to be a pleasure to retcon that man in his big mouth and send him back into the police force where he belongs." Jack's heart sank, and for one craven moment he knew an impulse to just say something soothing and let the moment pass. Common sense told him that doing that would just lead to another and even bigger explosion in the future. He took a deep breath and braced himself. "We're not going to wreck on him," he said quietly. "I'm going to offer him a position with us." There was a moment of absolute silence during which Ianto just stared at him. "What did you say?" Jack gritted his teeth. "You heard me. I'm going to ask Andy if he wants to sign up permanently. We need an extra person and he has potential." "Potential?" Ianto sounded almost dazed. "He has potential, so you want him. That's fine, I should have guessed." He put a hand up to his head and rubbed at his forehead before giving a bitter laugh. "I knew it was too good to be true," he muttered to himself. "Captain, when all this is over, I will be requesting a transfer up to London. I would appreciate it if you didn't interfere." Jack felt like he had been kicked in the stomach. To have got Ianto back and then to be losing him again over something as trivial as this. The bewilderment was still there. Ianto had never held Jack to any pact of exclusivity before, and had even been amused by his flirting with others in the past. So why was he cutting up rough over Andy, especially when Jack had given no signs of being actively interested in the other man? "Why the hell would you want to go back to London?" he asked, trying not to sound as desperate as he felt. "You'll probably get shunted into a management position and your potential will be wasted." "As opposed to what?" Ianto flared. "You lied to me, Jack. You said it would be different, but it's not. I told you I wouldn't go back to being what I was, so why didn't you listen? Was it too much to ask that just for once you would just bloody listen to me?" "But I did." "No, you didn't. Like you said, it's business as ruddy usual. You've replaced Owen with Jane, and Andy's going to step into Gwen's shoes, and I stay at home to do the cleaning and make the damn coffee and warm your bed when you come back from all your bloody adventures, and I won't be that person any more." He was shaking from the force of his rage, and he swung away before he planted a fist in Jack's face once again. The light didn't so much dawn as go off like a thermonuclear explosion, and Jack very nearly sat down on the floor out of sheer shock. Relief made him laugh out loud, and he didn't stop when Ianto swung around, a dangerous look on his face. Jack managed to achieve the element of surprise when he reached out to drag Ianto into an embrace and kiss him thoroughly. Surprise kept Ianto docile for a span of seconds, but then he started to struggle to break free. "Oh no," Jack said happily, giddy to have found out what was wrong. "I'm not letting you go. Your request for a transfer is hereby refused, Mr. Jones. You're going to be far too busy here in Cardiff to go gallivanting up to London." He claimed Ianto's mouth in another kiss, enjoying the way Ianto stubbornly refused to soften his mouth against his. "If you don't let me go, I'm going to bloody maim you," Ianto hissed furiously. "You can get someone else in to do the housework when I'm gone." "And who's going to do all the other stuff that you do?" Jack asked cheerfully. "Who's going to be the archivist who knows where everything is and who can correlate, cross-reference, research, tag, merge, and do all those other mysterious archivist-type things that you do second nature?" He stole a kiss while Ianto was distracted by the question. "Tosh, who's going to clean up our shed in such a way as to make the survivors feel a little less hopeless about how their loved ones died? Who's going to retcon people so skillfully that they never wake up at night from a nightmare so vivid that they wind up screaming? Who's going to liaise with other organisations in such a way that they want to cooperate rather than tell us to get stuffed?" He kissed him again. "I could teach," Ianto managed after he pulled away. "Who's going to give me the exquisite pleasure of teaching him every dirty fighting trick I know late at night when everyone else has left?" Ianto opened his mouth to answer, then blinked. "What? Who's going to help me and Tosh break in Jame and Andy? Who's going to take turns partnering either me or Tosh in the field so you remember your old instincts and learn the new ones you'll be needing? Who's going to be the perfect teacher for Andy and Jame because you still remember what it's like for all of the fieldwork to be new?" Ianto was finally looking at him properly, and he didn't resist the final kiss that Jack stole. In fact, it wasn't theft at all, since it was cautiously returned. "Who's going to do what he does best, which is to stop us from half-killing ourselves by making some sarcastic comment at just the right moment? Who's going to be right where we need him, when we need him the most?" Who's going to kick me up the backside when I fall back into bad old habits? Who's going to be the one to listen to Tosh when she needs someone to talk to? The rift's going to blow, Yan. And I don't know for certain if we'll be able to contain it, Jack said seriously. All of us are going to be needed if my worst fears are realised. Andy's coming on board, but we're all going to be field agents, you included. Please believe me, though, that if I keep you at the hub, it's because one of your best strengths is tactical assessment and strategy. You're not going to tell me that you turned down an opportunity to boss me around. To his intense relief, Ianto gave him a small smile. Do I get a promise that you'll behave and listen? Well, Jack drawled deliberately, maybe we'll have to work up to that. So I won't be the only one in training, Ianto observed in amusement. I may have to be firm with you if you prove stubborn, sir. Oh, I hope so, Jack said hopefully. This time, Ianto kissed him. Do you make a habit of this? Andy asked curiously as Tosh leaned back in her seat and smiled in satisfaction. He'd been a little mystified when she had leapt to her feet after Harkness had gone, pulled out her laptop, and then clattered down the steps to find a particular socket and plug it in. His confusion had deepened when he saw that some kind of CCTV footage had appeared on the laptop. It didn't take him long to realise that Tosh was tracking Harkness through the hub, although there seemed to be sections that weren't covered by the cameras, and she had to hunt around until she picked him up again. She was very good at doing that, though, and when Harkness arrived at where Ianto was, she tapped in a command which opened an audio feed, which was a little tinny, but audible. Andy had been torn between embarrassment at eavesdropping and rampant curiosity. Curiosity won out, although his conscience was still going on at him in the background. His interest piqued when he heard Harkness talk about offering him a job. "Me? Working with you lot? Why, that's going to happen," he said with a snort of disdain. "I don't want to go mad like the rest of you." "Maybe you can help us remember how to be normal," Tosh said mildly. It was on the tip of Andy's tongue to pour scorn on that idea, when he caught sight of her face reflected in the laptop screen. He'd seen that expression before, and the faces of people who had been laughed at and pushed around by bullies. He knew a surge of protectiveness and was a little surprised. He said nothing, and made a rude noise when he finally twigged why Ianto had been so mad. It was a relief to know that the man hadn't been jealous of him. For some reason, that thought made Andy twitch uncontrollably, especially between the shoulder blades. "Are they like this all the time?" he eventually asked when Harkness and Ianto stopped talking and started. Andy felt himself going red again. "They have their moments," Tosh said, smiling in satisfaction. "Hopefully they'll be having more of them in the future." "Right," Andy said, feeling vaguely horrified by what Harkness was currently doing to Ianto. I think they've stopped quarrelling now." Tosh said, not taking her eyes off the screen. "So, maybe we should stop..." "Good bloody God!" he squawked, leaning forward without thinking. "And he always seemed like the calm, collected type." "Oh, you have no idea," Tosh said, her voice cracking a little. "He can be very... inventive." "We really shouldn't be watching this," Andy said firmly.
"No."
"I'll go and get our drinks then, shall I?"